But to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. Now, you have to help me tonight, if you would. I wonder how many are there going to be at the end? And nobody knows. I don't know this answer. That's why you have to help me, because I don't know. But how many people will there be at the end? I mean, when it's all over, when the Lord comes and then it's it. How many people are there going to be, do you suppose, percentage-wise, out of the population of people in the world, what percentage are going to be faithful, true to the end, not giving up, not giving in, not getting weary, not faltering, not fainting, not losing luck? How many people are going to really make it to the end? How many? What did I hear? I heard a help.
Few.
Few? No, wait a minute. Wait, come on. But God so loved the whole world that he gave his son. And anybody that says, me, gets into heaven, right? Wow. All you got to do is wave your hand at the preacher. How many of you want to go to heaven one day? Oh, okay, you're going. I mean, that's almost the gospel that I hear preached. Well, there's no problem. Anybody, you want to go to heaven? Go to heaven. Okay, yes. Say, get on your knees. Say, I want to go to heaven, Jesus. Okay, you don't have to repent of your sin. That's old-fashioned. You don't have to give up your sin. Just say you love Jesus three times. Oh, I love Jesus three times. Well, then you must be going to heaven. No, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, as Sister Irene said, few there be that find it. Many will say in that day. What are many going to say in that day?
Lord,
I'll say, you know. What's the matter with you? You don't know? Oh, never mind. I'll pick on you some other time. What do they say?
Have we not prophesied?
Lord, we've prophesied in your name. We've done mighty works in your name. We did all this in your name. We worked at Pilgrim Camp. Come on, Lord. You know us. We worked at Pilgrim Camp. We slaved in the dining room. That's what you do, is it not? You washed the dishes. You did? You didn't wash any dishes. What are you talking about? All liars will also have their... Oh, no, that's, I'll pick on you later on, too. Now, come on. I mean, what do we get credit for around here? Do we get credit for coming to Pilgrim Camp? Do we get credit for... What are we doing this for? Well, I'm here because I want to go to heaven. That's the only reason why I'm here. Otherwise, I'd be home doing something else, what I really want to do. But here I am because I want to go to heaven. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with your church attendance or if you read the Bible through last year. It has nothing to do with if you hit a home run in Bible baseball. It has to do with you being true and faithful. Victory is promised not through your attendance, not through your this or that or my pedigree. We used to have a lady in our church, Virginia Utsi. Her claim to fame was that she was baptized by Uncle Hans. Who cares? I mean, really, does it really make that much of a difference? Does that guarantee your sainthood? Because Uncle Hans baptized me. That doesn't impress me. I'm glad you got baptized, and I don't really care who it was that baptized you. I hope you were baptized into Christ and raised together to walk in newness of life, and that you've been living in the victory, and victory is promised through grace and no other way. And I feel, and here again, you can contest with me and you may be right, but it's my understanding as I'm living in the year 2015 that this world is getting pretty bad. And that the Church of Jesus Christ, if we're going to stand, it's going to cost us something. We used to just be able to just mosey on through because America was a Christian country. Now, again, I'm not here to argue with anybody, but is America a Christian country? I mean, in God we trust is what's stamped on our currency. Do we really trust in God? He can't even mention his name. And if you narrow it down from God to Jesus, you're sunk. God can mean anything under the sun, including the sun. But if you say Jesus is God, Jesus is this, you're a hypocrite, you're a this, you're a bigot, you're a prejudice, you're narrow-minded, you're intolerant, you're... You know, the Bible says that we're going to come up day into a day. Now tell me if we're here or not. And again, maybe I'm wrong, but the Bible says there's coming a day where you're going to call evil good and good evil. Now, are we there? Have we made it? Finally, have we made it as a nation to nirvana? Where now we can call that which is evil, we can call it good. So we change the names of it. We don't kill babies, we abort fetuses. Makes you feel better when you say abort fetuses as opposed to killing babies. And you can go on and on and on. And we've been doing that for years, and it's only gotten worse over the last decade and over the last year or two. And it could possibly be that the Bible is really true. When the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, does it say that? Now, help me somebody over here. Because iniquity shall abound, what's going to happen? Yes. I'll pick on you later, too. That's the wrong verse. You're mixing your, yeah. And you, quiet. Did somebody say something over here? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of forget about it. Not everyone, almost everyone. Yeah, no, this was supposed to be a heart. I was given a clue for love. Help me somebody. Oh, okay. Iniquity shall abound. Now, are we there or am I making this up? Is America, is our country, is, well, forget about America and our country. How's my church doing? Can I call evil good and good evil? I believe, I may be wrong, I'll have to check with Brother Paul, but years ago, I think there may have been a book in the bookstore in the boathouse down there that was written by a man who today, still alive, still a pastor, still a popular pastor, but today has no problem with performing homosexual weddings. No, it's not, but let's not play the name game. Is it Kenny? No, it's not him either. And it's nobody you know personally. This guy's a big time guy. And a lot of other things that are disheartening to me. When I hear what's being said and spoken and done in the name of Christian tolerance, is it that the love of many, and it does, I believe, say in the NIV, I think it says most. So I think it says that word too. The love of most will grow cold. He that shall do what to the end? This is an easy one for you, staff. He that shall do what to the end shall be saved. I'm not talking to you now. Are they the only ones listening though? He that shall what to the end shall be saved. Did anybody hear what they're chanting over here? These people just don't get it. I don't know. We got to work on them all this week. They have to be as quiet as a church mouse. And you'll teach them that, won't you? No, you won't teach them. Yeah, because the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end. The end. You mean I have to stick this thing out to the end? Well, I don't know who taught you or what you learn or what book you read or what guru you follow, but the Bible says you have to stick it out to the end. Victory is promised through grace to the ones that stick it out to the end. To the ones that don't give in the middle because the going gets tough and it's a battle, but it's not to the strong is the battle or to the swift is the race. And, you know, not only physically, maybe when you hit 90, you slow down a little bit. I don't know. But I haven't gotten quite there yet. And but when you get a certain age, physically, you slow down. But spiritually, I've noticed that there are people that slow down also. They slow down in their love for Jesus, in their ardor for Jesus, in their doing for Jesus. I don't want to slow down. I really don't. And I don't think Sister Hofflander has slowed down at all in those venues, because although the outward man does get weak and one day it's going to perish, the inner being, the inner man is being renewed when?
Day by day.
And Sister Hofflander at 92 is stronger than she was at 91 and at 90, and it's only by the grace of God. And if she lives to be 99 plus, she'll be stronger every day. Physically, she may still need that little thing wheeling her around. Because the outward man perishes, but the victory is promised through grace to the one that endures to the end. And we are living in perilous times. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and he said, Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, I, you're the jury. I submit to you that the perilous times have come. Mm-hmm. I submit to you that they call evil good and they call good evil. I submit to you that we are living in evil days and iniquity is on the increase. And unfortunately, the love of many is getting colder. Now, that happened in a church. It happens all the time. I'm not talking about your church or my church. I'm talking about in the Bible it's happened. I mean, things were written to the churches in Revelation. I'd hate to get a letter from the Holy Spirit that says, you have a reputation that you live, but you're dead. Do you know that could be? And now, how could you have a reputation that you were alive but still be dead? Because you were once alive. And the reputation is that you're alive and you're doing good and you're great and you're wonderful and you're way on top. But the assessment of the Holy Spirit is you're not doing so good. You're dead. You think you're rich and increased with goods. You think you don't need anything, but you're really naked, wretched, miserable, blind. I don't like those kind of letters coming from the Lord to me, but they're true, and they help me to take stock. And then to another church, the Holy Spirit says, you've left your first love. Your first love hasn't left you. Well, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Well, he's going to love me to the end. He will. The question isn't, will he love me to the end? The question is, will you love him to the end? Will the iniquity that's on the increase make you to run in fear and jump in with the whole crowd and become part of the peer pressure and give in to the philosophy, the ideology, the system of this age and this world? That's why Paul writes to Timothy, or to the church at Rome, actually, and he says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. Do you know the world has a mold? And it's, again, you're the jury. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. But it's looking to me more and more that it's an anti-Christian mold. Mm-hmm. It's that we're bad. Christians are bad for society. We're not encompassing enough. We don't tolerate this. We don't know what love really is all about. I believe that I'm not wrong when I submit to them that they're wrong. Because I have the authority of the Word of God. That's my whole backing. I don't have any ideas myself. I don't have anything to stand on myself, but I got to go by this book. And so this book, as Sister Hofflander said, teaches us that we can make it through, even in the evil day. We can stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, we can stand. But it just doesn't say you can do it. It says how we can do it. And I'd just like to read a verse to you, if I could, tonight. And maybe help me, if not you. It's in the 59th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59. There's a verse in the Bible, and if somebody knows it, please help me out, because I don't know where it is anymore. But it says that in the midst of the congregation, it might be in Proverbs, in the midst of the congregation, there are people that are drowning or overwhelmed. Does anybody know what I'm referring to? It's in the Bible. I'm sure it's in the Bible. And I do find that right in the midst of the congregation, there are people that are drowning. They're overwhelmed by the societal pressures. There are a lot of young people that are drowning. There are a lot of old people that are drowning. It's not just you young, and it's not just we old, but it's that there are many people, because of the days that we live in, because of the pressures that come against us, there are people that sit right next to you in church or maybe in camp, and they're all around, and we know what to say. We really do. I mean, anybody here grow up in church? Anybody here, you remember when you were this big and went to Sunday school? Anybody here ever been in the cottage? You remember back in those? You remember that, some of you? No? Some of you, yes. Okay. Well, I was one of those. And, you know, I knew exactly what to say all my life. I was taught the right things to say. You know, you know what to say to the preacher when he comes by. What do you say to the preacher when he comes by? God bless you. God bless you, brother. Pastor, God bless you, Pastor. And if you don't want to say God bless you, Pastor, what else do you say to the preacher?
God is good.
God's good all the time. And if you're young enough, you even give him one of these. Right, Brian? You go,
yeah,
that's what you do. You do the pastor. And the pastor says, man, that kid's really on fire. He says, God is good. He says, all the time. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. God is good all the time. Yeah, well, yeah, that's nice. That's wonderful. Another thing you can say is praise the Lord. And if you get a really shaky voice, that's even better. Praise the Lord. Oh, now you're even smacking the Pentecostal right there. That's good. That's good we get all this in there. But, you know, I find that people that can do all that and smack your high fives, God is good all the time, they don't really believe God's good all the time, because they wonder where the good God is right now, because they don't seem to feel him, see him, or know him. And they're drowning, and they're sitting right in the midst of the congregation. You say, oh, you know what you're talking about. I don't think that's possible. I'm not going to go into the details. Some of you know the details, but I know a young man, 21 years of age, that about 2 months ago blew his head off. And if I would have asked him a week before he did that, he would have said to me, God's good all the time. God's good. Thursday before the Friday that he shot himself in the head, he was at the church till late working on the sound system and doing the recordings and putting things together. What was going on here? Something was happening. He was drowning in the midst of the congregation. And by all counts, he was a good kid. It's a mystery, an enigma to everybody. Everybody in the church out there, it's a church in California. And his parents, who are pastors or leaders in that church, and nobody could figure it out. What happened? How did it happen? It must have, I don't know what's going on. What's happened is that life is tough, even for Christian kids, and even for adults, and people that go to work, and people that sit at home, and people that watch any kind of news at all. Life is not so pleasant sometimes. God is good all the time, but sometimes we become overwhelmed by the situations that we find ourselves in. Yes, even you, even me. Even we can find ourselves losing love because of the iniquity without even realizing it. The scariest, no, I don't know if it's the scariest, that's an overstatement. One of the most scary verses to me, scariest in the Bible, is a verse about Samson. Does anybody know which one that is? Quiet, Frank, please. Does anybody know what verse I'm thinking of about Samson? It says this about Samson. It scares the life out of me when I think about it. It really does. What is it? What is it, Frank?
The Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and he knew it not.
Frank, come on, why don't you just stop, just take a seat? That's what it was. He wist not. This is Samson. Samson, you know, the big strong guy, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he went out and started beating everybody up and throwing this out. How in the world he tied those foxtails together, I'll never figure that one out. But I asked an old minister not long ago, guy's about 89 years old, 88 years old. I said, how did he do that? How did Samson do that? How did he get the foxes to sit still long enough? And he said to me, if the Bible doesn't give you the answer to it, you probably shouldn't be thinking about it. That's not an answer to my question. It didn't help me much at all. But I stopped thinking about it because he told me I should. But the thing that bothers me is that he, when the Spirit of God lifted from him, he didn't even know it. Could you not know it? Could you sit around here and still like have fumes and still think you're alive, but there's nothing left but death and stench? Could you really think you're rich and don't need anything and everything is going great? And look, we have more works in our church than we ever had in our church. We got more potluck suppers and choirs and everything else going on. We don't need anything. And the Lord's standing outside and he's knocking on the door. And he says, hey, could I come in? I'd like to. I'm not breaking down the door. I'll come in if you invite me. I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice, it's not written to the heathens. It's not written to ISIS. It's written to you and to me. It's written to the church. And if you'll open the door, Jesus says, I'll come in.
Yes, sir.
And I'll have fellowship with you. But you got to open the door. And sometimes we don't even realize our own hearts and our own coldness and the calluses. We don't even understand that. Until we finally, maybe it's a little too late sometimes, as it was with Samson. He wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He went out like he thought God was with him and God wasn't anywhere near him. Oh, Lord, help me. Well, what verse do I want to read? Let me read the verse. It's the 19th verse of Isaiah 59. Oh, but it's bad in this translation. It really is. I have an NIV Bible in front of me. Anybody have a King James in front of them? It's just the last part of the 19th verse, Isaiah 59:19. It says this, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Now, again, the NIV renders it different, but there's a marginal reading in the NIV, which I like very much. This is what the margin says in the NIV. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will put him to flight. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will put him to flight. Now, notice just a few of those words, if you would, in that verse. When? It does not say if. if the enemy were to attack, if the enemy were to come in, there's no if about it. It's not an if, it's a when. Yes. The enemy will come. Why? Why? If you're a Christian and a child of God, as someone told me recently, they said to me, they're telling me this. It was actually the mother of this young fellow that I was just mentioning to you. And she said to me, Brother Ernie, you have a big target on your back. The enemy would like to do you in. I'm thinking, thanks a lot, Christine. I mean, I need this. He'd like to do you in. And I said, the enemy would like to do every one of us in. But you don't have to be afraid of the adversary. You don't have to be afraid of the enemy. In nothing be terrified by the adversary. Why not? Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard and drive him away. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Spurgeon writes in his commentary, it's already, every weapon the enemy has, it's already got a stamp engraved upon it. It shall not prosper. It shall not prosper. It shall not prosper. But it's a hand grenade. But it's a bomb. But it's a smart bomb. But it's a nuclear weapon. It shall not prosper. Why not? Because God said so. That's why. And because I belong to Him. And we belong to Him. But if we're not really victory through grace, if we're not really true and faithful, if we sort of faltered into where we're now pray for the adversary, we've got no leg to stand on. When the enemy comes in, and he will come in. You remember what Jesus said at the end of Matthew chapter 7 when he told them the Sermon on the Mount, and then he gave that parable that everybody knows. The wise man built his house. Oh, here we go. Come on. Now we got you, right? The wise man built, you know that one, okay? And the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Now, what does it say in that story? What did Jesus say? When the rain descends, when the floods come, when the wind blows, not if. Because every single one, young or old, and if you haven't hit it yet, you will, and I dare say you probably already have, and you'll repeatedly wind up going through these episodes where the enemy comes in like a flood. And it might be constant, and it might be daily, and it's not just for a minute here and 2 minutes there. It might be a duration of time. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, in Isaiah 43, I forgot what verse it is, but Isaiah 43, Isaiah writes, when you go through the floods, when you pass through the fire. When, not if, but when. And I don't like to think of that as a Christian. I don't like to think of passing through the floods or the fire or these kind of vicissitudes of life. I don't like to think about storms beating against my house. I don't like to think about the rain and the wind blowing and all the rest. I don't like to think about those things. But it's going to happen because you're a child of God and you're worth something when you belong to Jesus. You're worth something to Him. He paid an awful price to have you. Yes, He did. He gave His lifeblood. Brother Jonathan talked about it last night. Mm-hmm. And He wants us to come into a relationship and be betrothed to Him. And what a privilege that is to love Him because He first loved us. But we're also worth something, and I say this carefully, but I mean it, we're worth something more to the devil when we belong to Jesus. And we read that in Revelation 12 as well as other places in the Bible. Who's the devil fighting primarily against? He makes war with who? The remnant of her seed, the church, the saints, people, you, me. We have a bullseye on our back. Who's interested in us? Well, Jesus is interested in us. He purchased us. He bought us. We're His. But the enemy wants us. The enemy wants us. The enemy wants to come to you, and what does he want to do? John chapter 10, verse 10. He comes to steal. They know a lot. You better listen to them while you hear these 2 weeks. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Oh, but that means everybody but me, not moi. He wants to kill, steal, and everybody, but not me. He's going to leave me alone because I grew up in the fellowship. You gotta be nuts. I mean, you gotta be kidding. I'm sorry, you're not nuts. Nobody's nuts. But you gotta be kidding to think that he's gonna leave you alone because your last name is this and because your uncle was a preacher and your aunt was a so-and-so and your mother knows this one. And so what? He's not impressed. He wants you. You got a bullseye on your back. And so when he comes in like a flood, I learned a couple of years ago what that verse means more than I've ever learned in my life before. Yeah, these people do know a lot. Before I even can say what I'm going to say, they're telling me what I'm going to, but yeah, Sandy. And anybody know Sandy? No, I'm not.
I got enough abuse.
Well, I'm not heaping any abuse to our storekeeper, but Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy or whatever you want to call it, yeah, I live right there. And I knew that we were going to have a storm that day. I heard about the storm. It's coming. Oh, so what? We've had storms before, and then the storm came. And it really didn't rain. It hardly rained at all. That was the strange part of that storm. I mean, it sprinkled and drizzled a little bit, but there was no appreciable water. There was a lot of wind. Well, there was also a high tide, and there was a moon that was favorable and unfavorable to the rest of us. And so it was the perfect storm. And all of a sudden, looking out my front door, I noticed that water was gathering in my street. I mean, it was coming up. I mean, it was like coming over the curb and starting to come up to the front steps of my house. Meh. How bad could this get? Don't worry about it. Well, it got a little higher. And it got a little higher. And so I took, some of you know Timothy. I said, Tim, come on. Help me. Help me. I don't know what I was going to do. We go down the basement. And my basement was a finished basement. It still is, but it was not finished for a little while there after Sandy finished with me. But in the front room of it, there's a, under the porch, there's a, like a crawl space, and it was a dirt floor. And so I gave Timmy a shovel. And I said, Timmy, just dig a hole so the water goes down the hole. I mean, he would have had to take enough dirt out of there to have half the Atlantic Ocean in that. And we were digging. And water, I look out the basement windows and I see the water going up past the top of the windows. And this isn't good. Okay. This is not good. And then it starts pouring in through the windows, and it's pouring in through other cracks, I guess, in the foundation. It's coming in and like a flood. And I knew this verse. I knew what this was talking about. I knew what it says when the enemy comes in fast. I mean, had I known, I would have gotten my car and driven out. But by this time, I couldn't go anyplace. My car, the water was up past the steering wheel. So you're not going to drive too well when you got that much water, unless you missed a Magoo or something. You can't get through that. And I was stuck. And the water was all the way up to the top step of my house. And my whole basement, I said, Tim, let's get out of here. We got up from the basement, and all of a sudden, the foundation of my house blew out. The water pressure just pressed on and blew a hole right through my foundation. And the water came in like a flood. And then I heard the other side of the door. The door blew out, and the water just... Yeah, when the enemy comes in like a flood, you don't have a prayer. Then you better have prayed before. It's kind of rough once the enemy starts coming in like a flood. No time then to pour cement, to plug up the holes and the cracks. It doesn't work too well in the last second. Oh, let's get that bag of cement. Let's mix this real quick. You got no time to do any of that. And that's the way the enemy sometimes comes in. And he comes in subtly through the cracks. You know, that foundation wall just didn't blow out in a second and a half. It took some time for that to happen, the cracks. And then it got bigger. Oh, how many people there are? They're not crack pots, but they have cracks. Cracks in their person, and they were warped. Every one of us was so flawed. Have you noticed that about other people? Have you noticed how flawed everyone around here is? I mean, they can't take a joke. You can't say anything. They're touchy. They're just obnoxious, these people. They call themselves Christians, and they talk like they do, and they live. Oh, come on. Well, take a look in the mirror once in a while and say, Lord, it's not my mother, not my brother, but it's me standing in need of prayer. We got cracks. Sometimes we have flaws. Sometimes there are things. And the enemy knows exactly where to come in. I read statistics. I don't even want to tell you what I read because it's disheartening to me of the number of men in evangelical circles that dabble with pornography on the internet. Let me just say that what I read was a majority. A majority? No, it's impossible, Lord. It's impossible. You can't. Cracks all over the place. Maybe you've got them. Maybe somewhere in your life, and you know you've got them. And you know that you have to stand, and victory is promised through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul ends his epistles half the time. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's not just a way to say goodbye, I'll see you, sayonara. That's a way to say you need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ if you're going to stand in these days, because the enemy's coming in like a flood. And the Spirit of the Lord is the only standard that can be raised. You don't have a chance otherwise against the onslaught. Again, I don't want to take too much more time, but in the Bible it talks about Jesus says in the last times there's going to be strong delusion. Strong delusion. People are going to believe lies. The enemy, it's in, where is it? Revelation 16. One of those is that the seals or the trumpets open, the sixth one. And if you subscribe to Hendrickson's understanding of Revelation, he would indicate that that's coming kind of close to near the end. And it seems to be worse as it gets down to that sixth seal and or sixth trumpet or sixth vial being poured out. And there are these three frogs that send forth like a mist, like a fog around the whole earth. And people are just like in a fog. And that's not literal. I realize frogs don't, you know, I'm not looking for frogs, three big frogs to start emitting some vapor somewhere or other and to flood the whole. But it seems to me, again, that that's the kind of world we're living in. People are in a la-la land. People are in a mist. People are deluded and messed up and don't even see that Jesus is coming, and that we've got to get ready, and a bride makes herself ready, and we've got to have victory through the grace of God, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's only by the Spirit of the Lord that a standard can be raised up against the flood and the onslaught that the enemy sends our way. I don't know. I need Jesus. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I've got enough flaws. And the enemy knows exactly where they are. Strange how that happens. Strange how he doesn't bother me along certain ways that he bothers somebody else, because maybe I'm not tempted that way. Maybe I'm not wired that way. Maybe it's not my thing. Maybe it's someone else's. But he knows how to push my buttons. And yeah, I do have a target on my back. And so do you if you belong to Jesus Christ. You're worth something to him, and you're worth something to the opposition. What did I read? The statistics are, you're worth $3.86. I mean, if you were to break you down into your component parts and sell back the salt that's in your body, most of the salt in your body right now is dripping down your face, right? But if we were to get all the component parts of you, you're worth about $3.86. How does that make you feel? Cheap, right? They're cheap. Compare it to this. I thought these were interesting, at least. You know how much Napoleon's toothbrush sold for not long ago? How many think it was more than $3.86? His toothbrush is worth more than you. You know how much his toothbrush sold for? $21,000. Did anybody here buy it? You didn't buy his toothbrush, huh? $21,000. Who would buy Napoleon's toothbrush? I hope they're not using it. I mean, $21,000. But then Jackie Onassis, her fake pearls, just sold for $215,000. I know you didn't. Yeah, some of you got fake pearls, but you didn't buy them from Jackie, I don't think. Well, I got JFK. You know who that? You know who JFK was? John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Yeah, I know you guys know. You're old enough to know. He was a president of the United States. Okay, you know that. JFK. He had a set of wooden golf clubs. They sold for $750,000 at an auction. Now, why are these things so valuable? Because who they belong to, that's why. See, those golf clubs wouldn't have been worth, if they were my golf clubs, how much do you think I could sell them for? $3.86? Maybe. They wouldn't have been worth anything. Hey, why anybody want to buy my toothbrush? You can see Sister Sandy at the boathouse tomorrow. It's up for sale. Going once, going twice. Anybody want to give $21? 21 cents? I'll pay you to take it, maybe then, huh? That's about the only way I get rid of that toothbrush. It's only worth something because of who it belonged to. You're only worth something because of who you belong to. Amen. You belong to Jesus, don't you? He bought you with his precious blood. You're valuable. You're worth something to him. But you're also worth something to the bad guys. And so he attacks like a roaring lion, delusions, believing a lie, calling evil good and good evil, iniquity abounding, trying to get the love of many or most to get cold and grow cold. And here Jesus says, come on, hang in there, endure to the end, endure to the end. And he said, but I can't, a flood is coming, I just can't stand. You don't know my school. I don't care about your school. You got to know your Jesus. But you don't know where I live. I live in the city. I live in the city too. And I've lived in the city all my life. And I made it, not because of me, but because of Christ. Because he is able to keep me from falling. And you and all of us, he is able to present us faultless. Get over this whole pity party of I can't because I'm a young person. You know how wicked it is out there. You know how bad it is. You don't know this, and you don't understand my neighborhood, and you don't know where I brought up. Get over it. You've been brought into a new family. You belong to Jesus Christ. He's your Father who is in heaven, and he's able to keep you. Get it into your heart that he's able. Oh, but the enemy comes in. Look how big he looms. Forget about how bad the flood is. Thank God for FEMA. Oh, well, that's back to my story of Sandy. But thank God for the Holy Spirit who comes to your aid and drives away the forces that come against you that you are no match to stand against in your own strength. He is able. Oh, I know the Lord is able to carry me through. And he is. But he's only able to for those who want him to be able on their behalf. He goes around to show himself strong and mighty on behalf of those who put their trust in him. And so I just want to encourage myself tonight to hang in there. You know, I never thought I'd have to have a board meeting and talk to the board about what are we going to do if these people want to get married in our church and we need to protect ourselves. I never thought I'd have to do that in my life. And now I'm finding myself have to rewrite bylaws in the church to try to protect us. Protect us against what? To protect us against from our government? From our own Christian nation? Yeah, that's what I have to protect myself against, from my own government and from my own Christian nation. And I guess this is going to go over, it's going to be put on the internet someplace, and one of these days, I might even wind up, or you might wind up, having to face the music or be put into some place of ostracism or whatever it might be for the sake of the gospel. But I don't want to water it down. I don't want to candy coat it or sugar coat it or make it say what it's not. The Bible's the Bible. Let God be true and every other man or woman a liar. Because God is true. And this book is true. And I find that in the days that I live in and that you live in, you cannot, because of anything that you think you are, because of your credits that you heap to yourself, the enemy is not impressed with your credentials. Jesus is not impressed with your credentials. The only interest is in your soul. And there's a battle for your soul. There's a battle for my soul. Not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And Jesus wants to win. And Jesus can win. Now, I ask the question, do you want him to win? Do you want him to win in you? Do you want to overcome? Overcomes again in you and in me. Jesus giveth us the victory. He who overcame on Calvary overcomes again. Victory through grace. Not to the strong. Not to the swift. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, because you all need it. And I do too. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I come to thee. I come to thee. Is he knocking at anybody's heart tonight? Is he knocking at your heart? If he's knocking, when I was this big, little kid in the cottage, I think I was probably a cottager, I had a little piece. My heart has the door and I have the key. No one can open it, no one but me. How much dear Jesus would want to come in to give me his love to keep me from sin. I can keep my heart shut or open it wide. I can keep my heart shut or let Jesus inside. I will open the door as wide as can be. And then I forget the rest of how it goes. Oh, I will open the door and give him the key. Oh, dear Lord, help me to open the door. Open the door tonight. Could you open the door? I mean, can you open the heart's door, your heart's door? Do you need to? I need to. Do you need to, really? Do I need the Spirit of God to force back and drive away the onslaught that you must all, I don't care who you are, old or young, you all must feel it. You all must face it. Lord, I need your Spirit. Lord, help us tonight. Who is the King of Glory? Who is he? He's the Lord. He's strong and he's mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Lord, I don't really know everything about everybody sitting here tonight. I don't even know everything about my own heart. And Lord, sometimes I'm afraid of myself. The propensity, Lord, that every one of us have, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit tonight will come to us in the closing minutes of this meeting. And Lord, speak to us, first of all. And Lord, if we've got so many cracks that the floods just come in, Lord, we need you to fill those cracks. We need to repair the breaches. We need to build up the broken altars. We need you to raise up a standard, Lord. Yes. So we pray, dear Father, show us the things maybe that we're heretofore unconscious of. Lord, put your finger upon my life and my heart, and Lord, to see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is not religion 101, Lord. It's not even Pilgrim Camp as it was 10 years ago. I sense there's an urgency. Lord, I need you. It's not I could or maybe not, or I'll be okay this year and I'll come back next year. But Lord, I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. I desperately need you. Like the deer after the water brook, I need you. I have to have you, Lord. I can't go out there in the world. I can't go out there and face what has to be faced. I can't even face those in my own assembly in church. I can't, Lord. In my own strength, I need you. We need you. We need you. Oh, come to us, Lord. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Sing 68 in the white book. Number 68. Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Time, because you've been so helpful already. But I wonder, maybe we should just bow our heads and close our eyes. Let me ask you a question, because it'll help me know what to do now. I wonder if anybody would say, I need His grace. I need help. I feel like I'm in that kind of a battle too. You're not the only one, Brother Ernie, but I feel I'm in a battle too, and it's not fun, and it's getting a little hot. And I don't know that I'm going to make it. I need help. The enemy's coming like a flood. I sense it. I see it. It's all around me. I feel it. But I pray tonight I need Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit to raise up a standard, to drive it away, to repel that onslaught. Is there anybody here tonight that says, that's me. I'm that person. I need help. Anybody, just lift your hand if I could. There are a bunch, some of you, some staff, some guests. Well, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I realize it's hot in here, and I realize it's almost time to go, and we will dismiss the meeting. But I would like to encourage some of you, maybe tonight, to just, as we sing that chorus one more time, just stay for a few minutes and just ask the Lord Jesus to help you. I have nothing else. I can't do anything. I can't help anybody. It has to be the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God is here to do that. For young, for old, for every one of us, staff or guest, the Spirit of God will, shall. I like that too. The enemy shall come in, but the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up. It's a given. Just as it's a given that He will come in like a flood, the Lord will, He will raise up a standard. He's able, thank God. And take that help tonight. Take that help. Like Bartimaeus needed that help. And what did he do? What he said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I need help. And he called on God. And so as we sing that chorus one more time, if you need to go to rest and want to go back to wherever or out, God bless you as you leave. But if anybody would just like to stay for a time, pray, deal with God. Let him deal with your heart. Stay as long as you want to. Let's sing that chorus one more time. God bless you.
His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary, no bounds to count. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he gives all. Jesus, I need you to give and give it again. Oh, help me to take, oh Lord Jesus, what you give. Oh Lord, I need help. We need your grace, oh Lord. We need your help to stand in these days, Lord. We open up our hearts to you, Jesus. Have your way, Lord, have your way. Dear Lord, have your way. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Oh, Jesus, I need you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come, O Lord, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I take grace, I take your grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy
strengthen with might by your Spirit in the inner man, dear Lord. Quicken within, dear Jesus, we pray. Strengthen every one of us. Oh, Lord, with your power, with your might, oh, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, now don't get scared. I'm not going to get started again. I'm actually going to end again. But could I ask somebody who's here tonight that's a guest, anybody, I don't, who a guest, would you pray for the staff, all of them? Just pray that Jesus will help those. I guess everybody here is open to, we want help. We're one in this thing, okay, guys? As long as I'm here, we're the same. Right? There's no differentiation. The Lord wants to work in you and you and me and all of us. And we're praying for one another. We're encouraging one another. We're supporting one another. We're having faith for one another. It's not, you know, you're on your own. good luck. Or you, your guests, we don't care about you, we're one. And we feel that, I know we do. And I wonder tonight, as we dismiss this meeting, if I could ask one of the guests here, just to, would you pray for the staff? And could I ask someone who's on staff, could you pray for the guests? You know, I don't know what I am. I don't know if I'm a guest or if I'm staff. I'm kind of in the middle, and I'm happy that I am, because I'm going to claim an answer to both your prayers. And but let's pray earnestly. Let's ask Jesus for his help. So would one of you, somebody who's a guest, would you pray for all the staff that are here? Let's just ask the Lord to strengthen and help these young or old. Dear Lord Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Help, O Lord Jesus, we pray.
Lord, I do ask you to strengthen and equip each and every staff member here, no matter what they're doing, Lord. In the kitchen, with the kids, in the boathouse.
Jesus, we pray that you'll come, O God.
Lord, give them direction. You lead us into paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lead us daily, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let us know when we should talk, when we should be quiet.
Dear Lord, come and help the staff. Strengthen these staff members, oh God. Strengthen them,
Lord. We need to give an extra loving ear.
Strengthen these staff members, everyone. Strengthen every staff member, oh God. Equip them. Help them to stand, oh Lord. Bless them.
Not in our own power, but
dear Lord, yes, Lord. Jesus, help, oh God, every staff member by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, we pray that you pour out your Spirit upon these staff members, every one of them. Help them. Help them, oh God. Help them, Lord Jesus. Amen. Do that, Lord Jesus. So one of the staff members, would you lead us in prayer? Pray for the guests. Pray for these that you're serving and working with. Dear Lord, help every guest here on these grounds, oh God. We need help, Lord. We need your help, Jesus. We need your Spirit, oh God. Come to
Father,
us,
Father, we thank
God.
You tonight for every guest that is here in this lodge.
Yes,
Lord. They've come
help
here.
Help every one of them, Lord.
Lord, Pastor's been talking about the struggles that we're all facing in our lives. But Lord, they have set aside a time.
We need you,
come
Jesus.
Come here to care, to wait upon you.
Yes,
Lord, to find that help that is theirs in time of need. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that not one guest will leave this campground, Lord, without having found that
hallelujah,
help and that strength
and
encouragement.
Yes, Lord.
And have taken hold of that grace that is sufficient.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father,
help each guest here. Bless each one, Lord,
God, Lord,
I pray. Dear Lord Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus. Strength and help them, O Lord Jesus.
May they go. From this place, strengthen and renew.
Hallelujah. Yes. Come to everyone. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
In your name we ask it. In your name we pray it. In your name we ask it, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. It might be well that we dismiss tonight. I'm not going to kick anybody out. If you want to stay, you should. But I don't want any of the staff particularly to get tired the first night or the first two nights or three. I want you to get tired sometime next week. And I won't do this every night, believe me. But I just feel it would be best perhaps tonight for especially the staff to get a good rest. It's going to be a long 2 weeks, and it's going to be a lot of work, and I know you're up for it. But don't go back to your rooms and play around until 2 a.m. But if you're going to go back to your rooms, you can still deal with God. You can still look to the Lord. You can still expect Him. Don't forget what He wants to do and how He wants to help you and all of us and all of us. And so, again, if you really feel to stay, do so. And if you think it's wise to go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, let your help be given to everyone.